Oh my God, you know what your chart is? It's very much cottage core simp is what it is. It's like, hear me out. Hear me out.
Hello and welcome back. Today is our part two of our Exploring the Zodiac series, mini-series, I guess you could call it, with Kayla Phoenix, who is going to now tell me what my Zodiac information is, and I will be the judge if this is malarkey or not.
Before we start, I'm curious if listening to mine has changed anything, or if you're still on the skeptic train.
I'm still skeptical, but it is interesting that there were some things that definitely lined up, but then, you know, then again, the super skeptic conspiracy theory side of me is like, yeah, but like, what if they just know more information than they're letting on? Sneaky, sneaky.
Yeah. Oh, if you didn't listen to the last episode, also, Kayla and I don't really know each other at all. Like, we've never seen each other before today. So this is not based on like, we've been friends for 11 years. So, you know. If you're also a skeptic, that might help you to know.
And I have never met Kayla at all. So this will be the true test, because this is a complete stranger.
Mm-hmm. This will be the control.
And my Facebook is locked down.
Oh, that's funny.
Not the Facebook. All right, Bree. So, first things first, I want to lead with, I don't expect you to not be a skeptic. Your chart is very earth heavy. Very, very, very earth heavy.
I have dirt everywhere.
Hence the Facebook being locked down. Exactly. Zuckerberg got nothing on you. That being said, you do have a lot of fire as well. So I guess I'll just get right into it. So your sun is in Taurus. We all know this. Your moon is in Virgo. And your rising is Virgo as well. And they are both in the first house. Oh my God. Okay. So basically, Virgo is Mother Nature energy. Virgo is like a shifting sand dune, basically. It's earth, but it can move, and it can move more specifically around people. It can encompass people. It can understand people, but it also likes things where it likes the things, okay? If you move too much of Virgo's crap around, God help you, you're going to end up with a sandstorm, and I do not mean the song. I'm very sorry about that.
Don't touch my piles. I have them for a reason.
Exactly! Makes total sense. Well, that and your Venus is in Aries. So you're very much, I can do it myself. I don't need nobody, but also love me. So I love that. The thing with having Virgo in two placements in the first house is basically, it's not just skeptic energy. It's skeptic for a good reason, okay? It's skeptic. You have a system. When people have Virgo in the first house, especially your moon and your ascendant, you already have a very established way of thinking. You already have a very established way of processing the world and the people around you. And we don't like too many things moving the piles, as you said. You live in chaos, but it's organized chaos, okay? And there's very much an object permanence issue where if someone scooches your shit, it's just like, excuse you, whose house do you think you're in? So the skepticism isn't just a, well, I don't believe you. It's a need to have stability in your own system. It's a, if something doesn't align with the way you already see and perceive the world, it can very much throw you for a loop, and you might try different things for a little bit, but eventually, whatever you dabble in, you will come back to your core way of thinking, basically. Does that make sense?
It does.
It does, a little bit.
I will neither confirm nor deny.
Right.
Did we have an episode where Brie talked about her piles and their importance? Yes.
Did you? Oh my gosh. I need to go watch that one. Oh my God.
Don't touch my pile.
Specifically with your chart pulled up. Well, and here's the thing. When you have Virgo placed there, it's also funny that your sun sign, so Taurus, is in the ninth house. So we talked about ninth houses and the significance with that in the last episode. Basically, it's you have a very strong moral compass. You see things very much in black and white. This is right. This is wrong. With very little gray area in between. There's a little gray area, but again, if they get too gray and start with your piles, it's just way too much. Can't have it. Can't have it. There's a right place and the wrong place to have it. That being said, that doesn't come from a place of being strict, or I know people stereotype Tauruses as being stubborn. Perhaps they're not necessarily stubborn. They just have this need to understand the world around them and to be understood, but they want to understand it through their moral compass, if that makes sense. And that's why sometimes things might be baffling if you see other people do it a certain way. It's not that you're judgmental or mean at all. It's just that sometimes internalizing that can be difficult, especially when you already come from a place of, I have this system and this works for me. And also, do you have a problem with when people try to like change you? Like if someone comes along and they're like, I think that you should do things this way, or I think you should communicate this way. And you're like, well, my way is perfectly fine. What the hell?
I feel like I'm a pretty adaptable person if it's not like, or at least I certainly try to be. As far as like the black and white thinking, I don't know. I tend to see all sides of things more than just be like, there's a right way to do something and a wrong way to do something, because having ADHD, I've had to adapt a lot of things, and I understand it's not, my way is not always going to be the way that other people want to do it. However, it is the way that I do it for a reason. So
exactly. So having those set piles, but again, like that sand dune energy, the being able to shift in certain areas, but still needing to have that groundedness, basically that home base to come back to, at least for yourself. It's not to say that those placements force other people to do their way of things, because I know, again, Tauruses get stereotyped that way. They're not bossy, or again, they're not stubborn at all. They just have a way of doing their own personal stuff, but will still try to, like you said, like still have this way of just kind of seeing other people, but having a baseline that you come back to. So that makes a lot of sense. Well, especially, so you have, and this is where I'm glad you brought that up, because you have a grand trine in your chart. So you have a trine between your sun and your moon placements, and you have a grand earth trine. So you have a trine between the sun and your moon, and all three of your big three are earth. So what that means is that you have, again, it's like you have your baseline. And it might seem a little like it takes a minute to process when other people want to do things, at least in your space, differently, but you can still get along with other people. It's like you have your system, you have your piles, and you have a way that you do things. And there's a reason, there's a method to the madness, and people better not move them. But you still are able to appreciate where other people are at. And you have this harmony with other people as well. So we talked about the sun being more of the big brain energy, your will, right? And your moon being more your emotions. Your emotions and your will are at peace with each other. So it's a balance. Have you ever had people mistake you for a Libra? I'm curious.
Oh, I don't know. if that has happened, they have not mentioned it to me.
Okay.
I think a lot of the people we know aren't even allowed to believe in this.
Well, if they need a witchy uncle to adopt them, I'm here and I'm available. I got you. I mean, I'm in Idaho, so that's not much better, but but it's a balance, and it also suggests coming from a place of wanting to nurture the people around you. So it's, again, it's this Mother Earth energy. It's this, again, not being stubborn or strict necessarily, but you have a system for a reason and want to use that system to help other people. And this is one reason why you get along so well with Maddie, because Maddie has a ton of, you have a ton of air, you have a ton of fire, you have a ton of just all over the place, just popping energy. Bree is very much a safe space, is very much someone who wants to hold people where they are, basically. And I see that as being a very big strength for you, especially because you do have this, I see this polarity between, you know, having your way of doing things, but also seeing how other people are where they're at and wanting to bring them into that oasis and wanting to be the safe space where they can come to if they need to. Not for everybody, because Tauruses are very selective with who they let around them. If the vibes are sus, they can bite the dust. That's how it goes. That's where Darude Sandstorm comes in. Okay, man, that's where it goes. But having those trusted people, I get very much the feeling from your chart that quality time is very much a big love language for you. Acts of service might be a love language, and words of affirmation especially used to help people. But that is something that is very much a strength, very much a strength. And you're very much a constant. And again, other placements in your chart do affect that. There are some areas where it gets a little intense, but
like what?
Well, you do have, so we mentioned your sun and your moon are very, you have that trine, right? You have a square, which we mentioned in Maddie's episode, which is opposition, it's right angles. You have a square between your sun and your Mars. Your Mars is your, people stereotype it as how you fight. That's not necessarily it. It's the part of you that is fierce. It is the part of you that will stand up for things and has an opinion on things and cares a lot about things. Your Mars is in Leo, which I find very, very interesting, especially since we just did Maddie's, because Maddie's Mars is also in Leo. Mm. So there is this mama bear energy. There's very much not so much trouble with authority figures. I wouldn't say that so much for you, because I see in your chart authority being helpful in certain areas of your life, particularly spirituality and religion. But outside of that, having this opposition between I am at peace with people, so long as you don't fuck with my shit, I won't fuck with you. And then you have this square with your Mars and Leo, which is marching to the beat of their own drum. So especially in childhood, how that can manifest is being quite the feisty little bugger and having this energy, having this ball of energy that's like just pent up inside, which the ADHD might manifest some of that for sure. But having this explosivity, not necessarily like a wild child or a bad kid or anything like that, but having this different fiery lens that you view the world through, where as a little kid, you might have maybe just been a lot for adults to handle. Not a bad thing, not a bad thing at all. But this is why you have your piles, because you took the chaos and you made little piles. And as long as no one knocks one of them over, you won't wreck their shit, basically. That's as long as nobody messes with you, you won't feel the need to take up anything with them. And that's kind of how that dynamic plays out a little bit, basically. It's controlled chaos, especially for someone with, I believe your Mercury was in Gemini. Hold on, let me go back to my notes. Oh, geez. Okay. So, yeah. So your Mercury is in Gemini, which Gemini is already such a mercurial sign to begin with. Good night. So basically, and it's conjunct with your Jupiter, so there's this expansion aspect. But basically, Gemini is not, they're not two-faced. People stereotype Gemini placements as two-faced. They're not. They just have a way of presenting themselves in areas where they do not feel safe. They very much have a way of presenting themselves in places where maybe they don't know people, or maybe they're a little wary, or especially around people who have messed with them before. It's not that they're two-faced, it's that they have this on and off switch where there's a part of your brain that can compartmentalize the ways that other people act around you. And again, that plays a lot into that Virgo energy. But people with Mercury in Gemini, it can be difficult sometimes to make decisions. And not difficulty making decisions, but sometimes having to choose between what you want and what you need. And wanting to be in charge of your own life because of that Earth energy, but also sometimes just wishing other people would just make the decisions for you, but then also having a hard time trusting them to do what you want them to do because they might f*** with you in your reefer piles. Is any of this ringing any bells?
Maybe.
Neither confirm nor deny.
It could be. You could maybe have hit the nail on the head for that one.
If you're just listening and you're not on YouTube, Bree is physically shrinking in her chair.
Sorry, Bree.
Don't look at me. Don't acknowledge my existence.
It's well, that's I think where a lot of your go with the flow energy is. It's not that you necessarily want to do what other people want to do because you have your piles. It's just that sometimes it takes a lot of energy to exist, and it'd be nice if someone would just pull up and just run the show for 5 seconds, but then it's like, are they going to make a mess of my piles? So I do have a quick question for you, though, because Taurus very much has, like, their comfort zones. Again, very much, I am Pepe. I will roll myself into burrito of blankets, and I am not moving. But at the same time, you have, I believe it was your fourth house, you have Sagittarius placements, which in that placement, it's more domestic. So it's, I dream of being in a faraway land and going on adventures and living in my favorite fantasy world. But also if I had to physically like go there and do that shit, I would have to change my address. I'd have to change my email. I'd probably have to reopen my Facebook and update people. And it's just a pain in my ass. Does that sound familiar at all?
Yeah, maybe.
You get the urge like every year, just like, what if I moved? And then 2 seconds later, you look at the kitchen and you're like, oh, but this is just so well sorted. I'm not gonna.
Yeah, often. Like, I'm already preparing for when we have to move again because I know it's gonna take so much energy. I've revamped the system, so now it'll like work better and I'll just make sure that everybody does it right. Because really,
you will do the piles.
Because I have very limited energy. I also have narcolepsy and insomnia, so energy is like paramount for me. Thus, if I can minimize the amount of energy that I have to expend and other people have to expend, just with a little bit of extra brain work, why not do it?
Right. Exactly. Except that other people don't always do what you want to do. And then the Mars Leo is just like, why?
But you agreed to the system on this chart.
Right. It's like, you signed off on this. You knew.
But no, the urge to flee modern, reject modernity.
The constraints of society.
Yeah. Reject society. Embrace farm.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, you know what your chart is? It's very much cottagecore simp is what it is. It's like, hear me out.
That's funny.
It's very much, I want to live in a little cottage in the woods. And then you think about the fact that you won't have running water and you probably won't have colored duct tape. It's like, no.
I want to try to find that Marco Polo video from like 3 months ago where it was like a good 20 minutes of Bree describing the perfect, like, if me and you ran away to, like, a magical little hovel, and then it was connected underground from this, but then Bea could be our guard dog, and, like, it was, like, this in-depth getaway fantasy plan, and it was beautiful.
It was great. Like, it's, so basically, what we need to do is go find some rich person who wants, like, a garden gnome, basically, like a living garden gnome, a couple of them. And then we'll just have, like, two little hovels, and they can be linked underground. That way, people, if we don't want to go outside where inevitably there will be people, because that's what happens when you're a rich person and you have people gnomes, you want to show them off, probably. And mm-hmm, so that way, mm-hmm. It's like, we can just sneak underground, and it would be great.
You would totally do that too, and you would have very, like, you would all probably, like, color code the entrance of the different tunnels with different colored pebbles and shit, so you know where they all go.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have to memorize it.
We could make signs and hang them on the walls of the tunnels.
With little mushrooms, little baby frogs.
Oh yes. Ooh. I need a swamp.
One grumpy goat.
Yes,
very much.
Just one angry goat for Bea Wolf to be friends with, my Labrador.
Yes.
You would have a Labrador named Beowulf. Oh my god. Got the cottage core simp right on the head. Oh my word.
If I could just have running water and Wi-Fi, I would still be great. Like, it would be great. Can we just make that happen somehow?
Right, exactly. That's another thing with Tauruses. It's like, remember I mentioned in Maddie's episode where I was just like, it's that why guys, like, roll back over in bed. It's the, this is simple, this should not be hard to do kind of energy. It's the, what the hell is wrong with all of you? Like, love y'all so much and I'll accommodate you, but damn, bunch, this is stupid.
That's probably another reason we get along so well. We'll be like, mm-hmm. in the same party and be like, okay, we're gonna go to this room alone now. Like,
gotta talk about something important involving
you made
work.
Everything really complicated, so we're just gonna go be asleep on the couch. Goodbye.
I see y'all eventually, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, those placements are very much the, how do we have friggin' private rockets for Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, but we don't have flying cars and a perfect little fairy cottage with Wi-Fi type of energy.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's what it is. It's the, why is modernity nonsense? It makes no sense.
Oh, I want to live on a farm now. Like a little farm. Just a tiny farm. Just, you know, the smallest of farms. But still, it would just be perfection. Just a single goat.
Mm-hmm. As long as people follow the system so that things get done on time, because otherwise you will totally just don't do it yourself.
Right, of course. Mm-hmm. The amount of times I've just I got tired of waiting.
Here, give me.
It's okay. Yeah, and it's not even like a okay, here's the problem. Being an Enneagram 9, you know, you suppress any, like, internalized anger until suddenly you don't realize it's there until all of a sudden randomly something will, very small, will happen, and it'll just light all of it up. And I'm like, I didn't even realize I was upset about that. Who knows? Maybe I am a little upset about something. I can't tell. I'm not in touch with my emotions.
Oh my god, okay. That makes sense. So your eighth house, that's your emotional security, it's your stability, is Aries. It's okay. The little, we talked about Aries, it's the little fireball. It's the little fireball. It's the, okay.
Calcifer.
I love him. He's great.
Oh, if that you don't know, awesome. That's the little flame guy from Howl's Moving Castle. Sorry, yes. Listeners.
Oh, yes. Love that. That's very, I can see that for you. 100%. Absolutely. And it's the need to, like, be nurtured and have your emotional needs met, but also, like, if you don't do it properly, I'm going to do it myself. But also, you piss me off enough times, we're going to, again, Darude Sandstorm. I told you. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Interesting.
I had something else in my notes I wanted to tell you. Oh my gosh. I'm trying to think. Yep. And you had Taurus in your ninth house. Okay. So, again, that I want to travel, but do I have to pack luggage? I go. And I have to do laundry when I get back.
Dude, yeah, traveling in itself. Like, I want to be somewhere, but I don't want to have to, like, get there. Because getting there takes so much energy. Mm-hmm. It's hard. I enjoy it when I get there. It's just the problem of getting there. It's the issue.
Eh. It's the in-between where you have to deal with people.
Mm.
Like specifically people who are dumb.
Like everyone at Bucky's. why is the beaver and why is there a man in a beaver suit walking around holding the hand of a lady who's leading him around? Because he obviously can't see. They didn't build the mascot head right. He doesn't have any eye holes.
That's true. Oh my gosh.
Kayla, anything else you feel is important to note or any questions left?
Let me double check my notes. Again, I really want to go over your notes sometime. There was something about your cancer placement. I think it was in your 11th house. Yep. So your 11th house is like long-term. It's like long-term relationships, friendships, family, that kind of thing. And again, Cancer is one of those. It's Virgo is like Mother Earth, basically, kind of energy. Cancer is Mama Bear. Cancer is very much, again, I need to have my space. But at the same time, you are welcome within my space as long as you follow the rules of the space. Don't go f***ing with my space. Because then the claws come out. So there's less of an emphasis on short-term stuff. Like, again, like, love having people around. Don't perceive me. Unless it's like one or two very close friends and family who are with you for life, which can also be, tell me if this resonates at all. Do you have a really hard time, like, almost more than others, like when you do have someone that you lose, whether because they pass on or because they move away or whatever, having that person that you thought would be around forever is devastating.
Yeah. I've had a lot of people leave or pass away, and so it's kind of like, it is heavy, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I see a lot of maternal influence and a lot of maternal energy in your chart, and I think that's not just, I know sometimes, again, emotionally it can suck. We talked about this with Maddie's episode. Sometimes the things that feel the hardest or seem like the biggest challenges are actually your superpower. You're great at being that safe space for people. I know sometimes it might feel like, you know, especially right after losing someone, like, what's the point? I opened myself up and I got hurt all over again. But you are worth spending time with. You are worth being loved. And the people who matter and who stick around see that and they notice that. And if someone does pass on against their will, and it's not like they're choosing to leave your life, but something happens, just know that just because you have that impermanence, just because that person, that pile might not be exactly where you planned for it to be, doesn't mean that it's not still there and doesn't mean it doesn't still matter.
Well, neat. That makes sense. Free therapy, thank you.
You're welcome, buddy. Yeah. I got you.
I always have to make a joke, otherwise it'll hit too close. No,
yeah, it makes sense.
No, I do really appreciate it. And while I am still skeptical, it is very interesting to me that so many of those things did in fact apply, and it was a little spooky, and now I need to hide under a table so I can think about things.
I have a general question just while we're on the way out here. Do you have any, like, if people want to learn more about it, do you have any, like, YouTube channels, book recommendations, or anything like that that helped you?
Good question. Not so much YouTube channels. Honestly, I found a lot of sources either through in person, just people randomly crossed my path. My path is a little bit different, but we're not going to get into my chart right now. I'm old. If you believe in past lives, bitch, I'm ancient. I'm tired of this. but people keep finding me from before. So for me, it's a lot of recurring stuff, but I will say there are some great resources on TikTok, especially if you want to look into not just zodiacs and astrology. There's a lot of channels on there that I really recommend, but if you want to learn more about spirituality and decolonizing yourself and opening up your practice, because I will say, start with your own trauma, start with your own healing, and start with your own perspective, especially to any of my fellow 8.5 by 11 flavored people listening. I really recommend one of the channels that has helped me a lot on TikTok is Lady Sankofa, Lady Sankofa Speech. She is one of the biggest mentors who has helped me through a lot. She has talked about spirituality. She talks about sexuality. She talks about identity. And so really unraveling that about yourself before you even get into zodiacs and astrology, that is mega helpful. And again, there's a ton of channels out there, but I really enjoy TikTok because once you start with her and with people like her, the algorithm will kind of just take you along. And that's something that's been very, very helpful to me. Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. That was really cool.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Did you have anything that you wanted to plug?
Any socials or anything like that?
Yeah, if you'd like to, go for it.
Thank you. I'm kind of a ghost on social media at the moment. I'm working on some pretty big life changes right now. And still, again, in my journey, I'm kind of coming from a place of sharing what I know. But still, there's a lot more to be done before I open things up in that aspect, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I've loved meeting you guys and talking to you guys, and thank you for giving me the opportunity. It's been
Yeah. Thank you so much for doing it.
Super insightful. I'm definitely going to deep dive now. Need for information activated.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Seems like you have activated a new hyperfixation.
Absolutely. For sure.
Oh, dear.
But yes, thank you so much. And thank you all for listening or watching. If you have gotten to this far in the video, please do come back tomorrow because we will be here and we hope you are as well. Bye.
Bye.